Good morning. We're going to have our first panel this morning, and the subject of the panel is activism, race, and geopolitics. I'm David Little, Director of Adult and Academic Programs here at the museum, and I will be the moderator. My job will be to introduce the speakers, ask a few questions, and then get out of the way so that all of you, the distinguished audience, can ask some questions of the speakers. The way that this will go is the following. There will be four or five speakers, Coco Fusco, or Sergeant Fusco, Frida Kahlo and Kata Kulvitz of the Guerrilla Girls, Carrie Lambert Beatty, Assistant Professor of History of Art and Architecture and Visual and Environmental Studies at Harvard University, and then finally Richard Meyer, Visiting Professor in the Department of History of Art at the University of Pennsylvania. Each speaker will present about 20 minutes, and then we will have a brief discussion, probably two or three questions, and then open it up to the audience. And when we do open it up to the audience, I ask you please to ask a question. There will be a cocktail party after the presentations today. Keep your stubs, and you can have a few drinks and talk as much as you want about the history of your experiences as a feminist. Without further ado, we'll start out with Sergeant Fusco, and she will begin by disciplining us. Thank you.
Good morning, and God bless America. For the past several months, I've been briefing the civilian community on the subject of female interrogators and their use of sexual innuendo as a crucial weapon in the fight against global terrorism. I do so to make it more widely known that the war on terror offers American women an unprecedented opportunity to demonstrate their strength and charm by providing us with an enemy for whom sexuality is a key weak point. We exploit this vulnerability that is common to Islamic fundamentalists in order to get them to cooperate with us. The sexual freedoms women gained in the course of the 20th century have turned out to be a highly effective means of disarming our enemies. Female interrogators can take advantage of the fact that the male populations of traditional societies cannot conceive of us as powerful or violent, much less as highly trained military officers. Thus, we use the tried and true B&B tactic, posing as bimbos and babes, to extract actionable intelligence without them knowing what is happening to them. But today's event about the feminist future gives me an opportunity to make more general comments about American women's relationship with power, with the power of freedom. Many of us in the military feel a kinship with those of you in the arts. Military intelligence involves the careful study of culture. Like you, we seek to understand people's beliefs and to learn how to shape them. See, here's an art attempt, and here is our attempt. As an interrogator, I feel a particular kinship with performers, even if I don't always share their views. To my mind, interrogation is a form of performance for an audience of one, a captive audience, so to speak. We have to know how to play our roles well so that we make our audience believe what we need them to believe. Now, many of you here today may not have considered this, but the military and the art world are similar in many other ways as well. Both institutions are guardians of this country's sacred freedoms. We are both hierarchical in structure and global in scope. We maintain amicable and productive relations with multinational corporations, and our operations run best when unsavory details remain far from public view. We both know that the surest way to hide things is to put on a good show. In fact, the military has learned a great deal from the arts about how flashy spectacle draws public attention away from the less uplifting aspects of our engagements. We have also taken a cue from you about how to ensure press cooperation by limiting access to our special events to those in the media who share our views. Today, I would like to take a moment to commend the art world for its strategic integration of women and bring to your attention the fact that some of the tactics we developed for gender management have also been useful to you. From a military perspective, it seems that you have found excellent ways to deflect attention from what could have continued to be a serious problem in the wake of the tumult of decades past. I think you all know what I am talking about here, those troublesome forms of dissent that interfere with the smooth running of daily operations by creating public scandals that tarnish your reputations as benevolent arbiters of creative talent and public interest. Oh boy, I'm behind here. Here we go. The U.S. military has also had to grapple with gender management. I am not referring here to the issue of sexual harassment, although we in the military agree with the art world's de facto policy of denying its existence. Faced with a shortage of manpower after the draft ended in the 1970s and an expanding theater of operations in the age of global warfare, the U.S. military began to accept women and integrate them into areas from which they had previously been barred. Every year since then, women in the armed forces have gotten closer and closer to combat and have moved up the ranks in military intelligence. At the same time, the military had to make sure that this move would not be perceived as a form of weakness by others inside or outside the country. We could not allow this to seem as though there was a shortage of male talent, or even worse, as if this was a concession to the demands from subversive left-wing types. We could not allow the presence of women to weaken the military as a unified structure by openly engaging with that radical fringe of the female population that proudly call themselves feminists. The challenge then for political and military strategists has been to capitalize on female ambition while at the same time severing the attraction to power from the desire for change, what I believe some of you here call the urge to dismantle patriarchy. We had to train our recruits to embrace the golden rule that in order to be good soldiers, they have to stop thinking about being women. Now, it seems to me that you have all been very successful at convincing the young among you that in order to be good artists, they have to stop thinking about being women or just about anything else. Fortunately for you and for us, the political conservatism of the Reagan era and its aftermath have pretty much guaranteed that most of our recruits these days aren't very interested or attracted to whatever radical tendencies of feminism exist from that chaotic period of the 60s and 70s. What they do know is this: the personal is profitable as long as the political is inimical to it. That said, one of the unfortunate consequences of living in a free society is that we must contend with antisocial elements that seek to put the blame for their own shortcomings on something outside themselves. Their insecurities are exploited by the feminist dinosaurs who continue to walk the earth and talk up a storm, protected by special interest lobbies that control most colleges and universities. Most of the women who join our ranks these days have stayed away from them, but nonetheless, it is always better to have a plan for contending with potential disruption, or even better, for preemptive strikes against the return of radicalism. So, here is a list of recommendations from your allies in uniform. We've just adapted the strategies we use to suit your more freewheeling domain. Remember that the goal is to find every way to make women's achievements seem antithetical to feminist politics. Make sure to show how lots of attractive and appealing women already cooperate, if not lead this process. Point number one, don't deny, contain. Give feminism a place in art history as part of the past, thereby burying it so that it will not seem like a force among the living. Point two, tokenism, not quotas. Reward female conservatives so that they may serve as role models. Point three, you've got to have friends. Enlist sympathizers in the media to argue that the financial success of an excessively visible minority of women artists is an obvious indicator that feminism achieved all its goals for the arts and is therefore obsolete. Point four, bitch your way to the bank. Celebrate rebellion for rebellion's sake. This strategy is especially effective for channeling the energies of recruits who seek to be bad girls, the kind of bad girls that attract favorable attention. They know that erratic behavior and erotic exhibitionism can fill the tabloids, be emblazoned on the labels of hip women's products, or be easily sold at numerous prominent art galleries. Point five, fair and balanced. Aim for balance in public discourse by giving opponents to feminism a place at every table as if they were a disadvantaged minority in need of affirmative action. This helps to create the impression that feminism is hegemonic, even though the social and political conditions of women in the world suggest the opposite. And the final point six, touchy-feely does it every time. Remember that while art historians may feel obliged to acknowledge feminism, artists don't. Take advantage of the apparently unscripted and personal nature of studio visits. Communicate to aspiring art stars that their imagination is best protected by avoiding any discourse that requires them to consider their relationship to a group. It won't be hard. Just gush with enthusiasm when they ramble on and on about their favorite songs, their toys, their dogs, and their boyfriends. That's all there is to it, ladies and gentlemen. Just six easy steps that are guaranteed to work. The benefits of using rewards rather than punishment is that your opponents will be completely disarmed and they'll seem exceedingly unattractive. Besides, in a field full of unruly upstarts, you've got to avoid making it seem as though there are a lot of rules. In the military, we learned that lesson the hard way. Remember all the flack we got from special interest groups about the don't ask, don't tell policy for homosexuality? We had to contend with this. It took a full-blown war to get us out of that mess. But I guarantee that if you keep on following these six easy steps I just outlined for you, you will get the same results without having to impose a policy or hire a spin doctor. Everyone will have forgotten that there was ever supposed to be a feminist future. Thank you and good day.